Hello, welcome to the Podcast of Things. My name's Ed Martin. I'm joined by my co-host, George Murphy.
Hi, guys.
The Podcast of Things is a weekly podcast where we take inspiration from the Internet of Things. We talk about things we like, things we don't like, and everything in between. So, hello, George. We're back after a week break. We are now, the Podcast of Things is now 50% vaccinated. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good, mate. Yeah, sorry for everyone who was expecting an episode last week. Oh, I was just really hazy. And I didn't know if I could be my usual insightful self. So we decided to to just take a week off, which is all right.
I think there's priorities in life, isn't there? And that's certainly one of them. But no, good. Glad to be back, though. Glad you're feeling good. Glad you're vaccinated. And you're back at school and everything is peachy. Weather today is actually really nice now. It was it was absolutely pissing it down about half an hour ago here.
I
don't know what it was like. I don't know what it was like in sunny old south on the south coast.
Yeah, it's been all right. It was really sunny for half the day and then it just rained solidly. So you can tell we're in England. But we're getting there. Is it technically spring this Sunday?
I think so, because it's daylight savings, isn't it?
Mm.
I think it's the rubbish one, though, where you get an hour less sleep, which I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, it's hilarious, because Alice is going back to work Sunday, so the day's like double long or something, because of the daylight saving.
Double long, i.e. just an hour extra.
Yeah,
but it feels like double long.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think before we start, actually, I just wanted to say thank you to everyone again for 500 followers on Instagram,
yeah.
Which is massive. When we first started this, I didn't think we would even get 5 followers. So to get 500 is incredible. Thank you all for your support. And keep shouting out again. And I'm going to labour the point, but keep shouting out to your friends and your family. Word of mouth is the best way for our podcast to get out there. And it seems to be working. So thank you very much. Anyway, enough of that. Let's just crack on and go straight in to your thing of the week for it feels like forever.
Yeah, it does feel like ages. We've only missed a week. This week, I've chosen something that is probably one of the most popular things in the whole world. And as a result, I'm not going to talk about perhaps its impact on culture, but more about the impact it's had on my life. So it's a bit of a self-centered topic, but I don't really care. It's our podcast.
Well, it's our podcast, so you can deal with it.
So I'm going to talk about Lord of the Rings.
Oh, good. Okay. I was thinking, where's this going to go? My brain was whirring. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I did. I could hear the cogs. I'm actually shocked it's taken me this long to talk about it. For those of you that know us, and know me in particular, everyone knows that my nickname at uni and since uni has been Gandalf, and as is Alice's, so we're both Gandalf. So that just gives you a little flavour of how much this franchise has influenced our lives.
I think we need a story time there, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Are we doing story time with the name?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so it was the first week of uni, and as you can imagine, we were all pretty messy. It was freshers. And our flat, and Ed, I think you were definitely there as well. We were definitely there. Decided to play Wizard Staffs. For those of you who don't know, you watch Lord of the Rings, play a drinking game, and every time you finish a beer, you have to sellotape it on top of your next beer. No, underneath your next beer. So your wizard staff is progressively getting longer and longer and more difficult to drink. With the goal of the game being to get to 10, and then you are the champion, and then the next person to get 10, you have to fight them. I'm pretty sure it was me and Jade at the time. But in the midst of this competition, probably about beer 6 or 7, I really needed to go for a cigarette. So I took the beer staff out with me, obviously. And that's when I first met Alice and our friend Sash, and we got chatting in the smoking area. And I'm pretty sure the first things that came out of Alice's mouth were, "Who the fuck do you think you are, Gandalf?" and then since then, like her flat knew me as Gandalf, and my flat knew her as Gandalf, because it's like whole like, you know, how's Gandalf, and we just knew exactly who we were talking about.
Yeah.
And it's persisted up to the point where, after a year of dating, we ended up getting matching Gandalf tattoos, which I will post online. And in general, it's always a bad idea to get like partner tattoos, but we figured even if we broke up, the nickname would still be meaningful individually. Yep. And that was 5.5 years ago. So, you know, we're not doing too bad. But
no, it was good. It's good. It was good fun.
It was good times, wasn't it?
I would say, whilst we're on the topic again, before we forget about it, is that for those of you who have never played Wizard Staffs, do it, because it's the most fun you'll ever have watching Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings is great even when you're not pissed, but when you're completely inebriated after beer 4 and it's only been 10 minutes into the film, it's the rules are pretty intense and it's just amazing fun.
It's a mixture between being really competitive but then trying to remain sober enough to actually duct tape cans together, which is surprisingly difficult.
Especially if you
mix up the size of the can as well. Like there's a lot going on. It's definitely a game for a younger person. I don't know if I'd be able to do it now. Maybe we should try it.
Just record it. Let's see how that goes.
Oh, no. Well, we'd have to stream it, though, so they could see us just wobbling.
But also, every good story that has happened in our friendship group has always started, like, remember that one time we played Wizard Staffs?
yeah, it does. So you're absolutely right.
It's good.
It was always a way of, like, breaking in a new place, because obviously at uni you move around. And it was always, like, the first, like, get-together we'd always have would be Wizard Staffs. I love Lord of the Rings, obviously. I'm a massive nerd. You've probably gathered that by now. Funnily enough, like, my first introduction to Lord of the Rings was going to see Fellowship with my family. And I think it was, like, 2001. So I was 7. I went with my family. And I remember it was the only time I've been to the cinema where I've actually sat right at the front. I think I was literally, like, the second row. And it's a 3-hour film. And I remember me and my sister, who's 9 years older than me, so she'd have been 16, just laughing the whole way through about how shit this film was and how much we just didn't get it. Like, this would have been apart from, like, Jurassic Park, I would have never watched fantasy before. Like, this is, like, my first iteration of, like, witches, wizards, elves, and we just thought it was absolutely bizarre. Couldn't get on with it. And then 5 years down the line, end up being my complete obsession. Like, sitting in front of the TV on a Sunday, watching Two Towers, and doing that pretty much once a week for about 4 years. We've got a massive poster over our bed of, like, that's from, like, the 80s. No, it's from, like, the 70s. That's, like, an heirloom almost. I've got a lovely crocheted Gandalf. Like, as a kid, I'd collect all the models, like the articulate models you can get, which are an absolute wreck now. But there's a few that I've managed to preserve, like Treebeard's in really good shape. I don't know. It's just something that is woven into how I've grown up almost. And I don't want to talk about the films because I'm sure you've all seen the films. And I'm sure you all know that the second film is by far the best film. Purely for Helm's Deep, and actually not all of it. So Ed, Lord of the Rings.
I like it, and I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think you're the same. I've never read the books, so no. I would never say that I'm a massive fan, and I have watched the film a number of times, and I do like Lord of the Rings, but I don't know if it's my obsession. But I do absolutely love the fantasy genre, so it's kind of like, I don't know, it's a weird thing for me because I do love it, but it was the foundation of a whole genre almost, of this kind of, as you say, wizards, elves, orcs. It's kind of every single fantasy trope is a trope because of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So I don't know, my relationship is weird. Like, I do love the films, and I have watched the extended version a number of times, but I would never say, like, Lord of the Rings is my favorite thing in the whole entire world. Like,
no.
if you talk about like the three main franchises that were around when we were kids, you know, Harry Potter, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, it's a toss up between, like, Harry Potter is probably my favorite out of those three.
I wasn't expecting that.
I love Star Wars, but I love all three of them. It depends on the mood, but Lord of the Rings is probably, I'd probably have to say that's third out of the three.
That's completely fair. I feel like you've got a healthier relationship with it than perhaps I did. Not so much anymore. Like, it's been a long while since. I mean, we watched, actually, to be fair, over Christmas, we were in lockdown, and my parents hadn't watched them, like, pretty much since they came out. So we did sit down and watch the trilogy, And that was lovely, but I can't, like, Alice is obsessed with Harry Potter, and she will watch it every 2 or 3 months. She will watch all the films.
Yeah.
And I'll watch them with her, and it's fine, and I love it. But I can't do that with Lord of the Rings anymore. And I think it's because I just know it too well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think I prefer The Hobbit as a film. Also, Lord of the Rings as a set of films were pretty awful. Like I know Harry Potter is not any good, and I know we don't want to talk about the films, and I know the acting in Harry Potter is awful.
Yeah,
But the story, but it's so unique and it's so different almost that you can kind of get over that. Whereas Lord of the Rings, whilst it was unique when it first came out, it's now been done to death. So it's kind of like. So it's kind of, it hasn't aged as well as kind of Harry Potter has.
I understand that.
And the films are, you know, they're good to watch, but I wouldn't say that they're like masterpieces or they are a serious commitment. And I probably would only ever watch them now if I played Wizards of Staffs. But I know it's difficult, and I feel a bit dirty saying that because we both love fantasy. And as I said, Lord of the Rings is kind of like the forefather of fantasy novels and the fantasy genre. So it's a bit weird. It's a bit kind of sacrilege saying that, I think.
No, I know exactly what you mean. It's like if you were to get into rock music right now and you'd never heard rock music before, you would think, I don't know, Aerosmith were the best band. And that's a crap example. Rolling Stones are the best band you've ever heard of.
Yeah.
And then in 15 years, you've spent 15 years diluting that and listening to so many different branches. And then...
Yeah.
You'd listen to Rolling Stones every now and then and you'd really enjoy it. But by that point, you've got 3 or 4 bands you prefer over them.
Yeah.
And that's why I've never got around to reading the books, is because I overexposed so young as a kid. That sounds weird. I was watching it so much as a kid that I felt no need to read the book.
Yeah.
And then I've tried a few times. But in between that, I've read so many different books that... I've just never got round to it, and I don't feel like I need to now, because I feel like I've sort of grasped a different side of fantasy. I would love to read it, but I've got so much else I want to read in the meantime. I've got that story's done in my head. Like I've got that. I could scene by scene it almost. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I completely. I think that example of kind of the Rolling Stones is really good, I would also say like Black Sabbath as well as a good example.
Yeah,
if you listen to Black Sabbath, I love Black Sabbath, but actually they're not my favourite band, but I appreciate that they're the forefathers of metal music. So yeah, I think, I do like it, and it's good, and it's an interesting thing, and it's something that we do kind of love. And I think also it's just such a good story, and it's such a good it is a good story, and you know, it's a typical kind of hero story, isn't it? And going on a hero journey story, isn't it? Well, you know, the typical fantasy trope, but it is still good. No, I like it as a thing of the week, and I think it's quite a big thing because it's very you and very, it's just very us and our friendships, like and all of our friendships with other people as well. It's all kind of revolves mainly around being complete massive nerds.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. So I'm surprised it took me this long. As I said, I didn't want to talk about the films because what's the point, right?
Yeah,
they're the most, one of the most popular film franchises in existence. I don't need to sit here and talk about.
Yeah, the only thing I'm gonna say about the films, I think everyone will be in agreement with me, is just throw the bloody ring into the lava.
At the end of
Return of the King, where he just takes literally an hour of the film trying to throw in the ring.
Well, I'm going to go on a tangent now, but I saw a thing. I was listening to Brandon Sanderson. And he said that the point of that was, and obviously he's a fantasy guy, that throughout the films, the progression of Sméagol and Gollum is bad guy. Oh, he's helping them. He could be a good guy. Oh, no, he's betrayed them. And it's the fluctuation between, like, is Gollum going to be good or is Frodo going to succumb? And both of those things did occur, but the ring still got destroyed. So Frodo... ultimately failed, and Gollum ultimately failed at redemption, but the ring still just got destroyed. And it's Tolkien, so perhaps that's why, but it could also be they're reading a bit too much into it. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's probably a bit of both. It's interesting though. Well, that's good thing of the week. Well, I think that was a good return of the King to the podcast of things. And good, I like it. Well, I think there's nothing left to do but other to move on to my thing of the week.
Let's do it.
But before we do that, as always, this is the point of the show where we plug our podcast again. As I said at the beginning of the show, we have now hit 500 followers on Instagram and we're getting close to 500 listens on Anchor. So thank you so much for the support. It means a lot to us. We've been trying really hard to kind of make something a bit interesting and good for you, and just keep watching this space, because we have got great plans going forward in the future, and we have got a special episode lined up for our 500 followers, which will hopefully be out in the next week or two, which will be fun, I think, fun for you all to see a different side of us. But in the meantime, if you're not following us on Instagram, go over to Instagram and follow us there on at Podcast of Things. We post there and you can kind of see our beautiful faces and see what we get up to and see random things. But if you're not on Instagram, we're on anchor.fm/podcastofthings. And from there, you can pick your podcast platform. We're on all major podcast platforms, and you can go back and listen to all our old shows and go back and listen to, you know, right from the beginning, the very first iteration of Podcast of Things. I urge you to do that. And also, whilst you're doing that, give us a shout out. Give us a follow, give us a like, give us a comment, and just let us know what you're getting up to. Shout out to your friends, your family, your delivery drivers. I haven't got a delivery driver story this week, but I'm sure I will eventually. And yeah, as I said right at the beginning of the show, word of mouth is the best way to get this podcast out there, and we implore you to do so. So with that said, let's get back to the show and my thing of the week. So it's difficult. It's difficult to do things of the week now. It's only episode 16 or whatever it is. but I've got so many things of the week. But I think this week is not going to surprise anyone who's been following us on Instagram about what my thing of the week is. And it's something that I've very recently taken up. And I thought I thought I might as well just throw it out there. I'm not gonna sit on it. I'm just gonna do it. And my thing of the week this week is cycling.
Hey.
And I don't, that's probably not a surprise to anyone. And it's something that I've been toying with for a while, and I've kind of, okay, I'm not the best cyclist in the world. I'm 6'3", you know, a big person, and cycling's not necessarily made for me. And I've been cycling twice in my memories of cycling. There's two specific memories. There's one time I was on the Isle of Wight, and I've never really cycled before. I was a bit of a late bloomer with cycling.
Yeah, and same, don't
we, went, worry. We went to Isle of Wight, and we stayed at this kind of like, it would be now like an Airbnb. It was like this holiday cottage. And it was a massive drive that was downhill. And me and my friends, who are all much smaller than me, much more nimble than me, went down this hill, and it had a kind of a curve in it as well. So you kind of had to go downhill and go around the corner. Nice. And they all did that fine. And I was last. I was like, right, I'm going to do it. And I went down, and my momentum just meant that I was going breakneck speed. Nice. I couldn't brake. I couldn't go around the corner. The sea was coming at me because we were on the seacoast. There was a wall. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to go over the handlebars into the sea, and that was the end of me. Luckily, yeah, there was a bush in the way, and I went straight into this bush. And I just had a massive cut on my arm, and no. I never really cycled again.
No,
and then the next time I did, I was a bit older. I was probably about 18, and Chris and I, who was on this podcast a couple of weeks ago, we cycled from his house in Kew to Twickenham Rugby Stadium to go watch the rugby.
Oh, nice!
We did really well. We cycled all the way there, got there, had a few pints. One pint. You can't drink and bike, apparently. And then on the way back, I again crashed into a wall and again scraped my arm. So that's two iterations of cycling that I've done where I've crashed and injured my arm. Therefore, I have been hesitant to get back on a bike, because me on a bike equals crashing and hurting my arm. However, because Chris is here for lockdown, has been for lockdown for the last couple of weeks, he thought it would be a good idea just to get me a random road bike. because he can, apparently. And it was a really surprise.
He's one of those people, isn't he?
He is one of those people. He's also just ordered Jaffa Cake gin. So apparently that's something. Apparently that's something that you can do these days.
Nice.
But yeah, but he just rocked up in my door with a road bike that looked really good. The brakes worked. Everything worked.
We went on a couple of
it's a good start. A couple of cycles. But the gears failed. So we had to get new gears, we had to get new tyres. We had to basically, you know, it was from Gumtree, so it was a secondhand bike. But now it's finally fixed. I've got it. I have not gone for a bike ride on my new bike. However, I've used Chris's bike and I've been for a couple of cycles around the village. Done about kind of 16 kilometres, which it's been all right. Took about 50 minutes. And it's really, really fucking good fun.
Good.
That's literally it.
Good. I really admire you. Perhaps bravery is the wrong word, but determination of getting back onto a bike sort of 8 years later.
Yeah.
Because I have a similar experience to cycling as you, and I would be terrified to go on a road, especially around where you live, where it's the vision's pretty bad. It's quite windy. Yeah. Like cars do drive a bit fast. I wouldn't have the confidence to do that. So, yeah, seriously, like, well done for that. Because when you started posting, I just assumed that, like, you're a fairly good cycler and you'd done it before. So, like, I'm actually quite impressed.
Thanks, mate.
It sounds like you've had the same issue as me, being a late bloomer.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you've always been tall.
Yeah.
You'd get a bike for Christmas, and you'd have a go, and it'd be great. And then by April, you couldn't fit on the bike anymore. And then that would happen again. And again, and then at that point, your mum and dad would go, "We're not buying you another bike."
No more bikes.
Yeah, no more bikes. And then you'd beg them and beg them and beg them. And then, of course, you'd grow out of it. So, yes, I can ride a bike. Haven't ridden one in probably a decade. I think I was quite... I don't know if I was late to learning how to ride a bike. I probably was, knowing me. But yeah, we used to go cycling. Me and a few friends used to go cycling to the beach from here, which is like 10 miles. And they used to fly down. We were like 13, 14. And you know, when you're that age, you just go. But I just always remember really struggling and like having to stop. And it's because the proportions were so wrong for my body that I was doing extra work. Yeah. And like, I've never been a massively fit person, but back then I'd have been like, you know, more fit than I am now.
Yeah.
And I just remember like feeling so left behind and like so left out. And it got to the point where, like, after two or three times, whenever they'd say it, I'd be like, "No, I'm not coming." Because
no, thanks, mate.
It just feels like I'm making a tit of myself. But yeah, I mean, fair play to you because I would not want to ride a bike on the road like at all. Like, I just couldn't do it to myself.
It's actually really good fun. Like, I've only been on twice, and again, like I was on Chris's bike, so it's a bit small. He's got like special clips for his pedals, so I have like. And I don't. So I was riding a bike that was smaller for me, had little clips that, you know, I had a kind of surface area of a pea trying to cycle a bike. But it's just good fun. And I can see myself really getting into it. And it's just something that, like, I've always been into sport. I've always been into exercise. And I've realized now that playing rugby and stuff like that is you know, not sustainable. I'd rather live my life. But I say that he's going on a bike on a road. But actually, like, it's just like it's much more complicated than you think riding a bike as well. Like,
oh, I can imagine.
Like there's gears involved, and you know, kind of you have to kind of obviously when you're going uphill, you have to go really slowly, and then there's all kind of it's much more difficult. It's much more technical. There's lots of kind of the hardest thing actually is getting the water bottle from between your legs while cycling. I can't do that yet. That's the next step. But
Just get a beer helmet.
That's what I said. That was my idea, mate. We're made for each other. I said that. That would be my thing to do. I've got a high vis vest and a beer helmet whilst I'm running a bike. And you know, apparently, like we got what's called a sportive booked in a weeks' time, which is basically we're going to the New Forest, and you kind of do like a 50-kilometer cycle, and you stop off every now and then for some bananas and at feed station, which I think is a pretty fun term. And then at the end, you basically go to a pub and have a Sunday lunch, which is what we're gonna do because the pubs will be opening.
That sounds really nice.
And yeah, it's just something a bit different, getting me outside, I was one of those people that always looked at cyclists and go, ugh, what idiots, why would they do that? But actually now I'm one of those guys. which is fine. I'm happy with that. That's you know.
It's all, cool. Life's all about growth, Ed.
It is.
Like, it is. But I was the same. Like my dad, for as long as I can remember, up until recently, like he would ride to and from work every day. And at the time, he'd have been like in his early 50s or whatever. And so he'd cycle like 16 miles a day, like it was nothing. But he had done that for his entire life. Well, I know people now that will like cycle to work, or as a couple, will go out and you know, like go for a bike ride. And it's just so alien to me. And I'd rather go for a walk. I'd rather drive somewhere and go for a walk. And that's saying a lot. But no, I get it. That doesn't mean I don't get irrationally annoyed at cyclists on the road when I'm driving.
Yeah, me too.
But I think every driver can confess that comes from some deep-seated incompetence, that you're worried that you're going to not be able to maneuver around them, or you're going to hit them, and it comes from your own insecurities, and that's why you're so annoyed. Because if you were a good enough driver, wouldn't be a problem.
Exactly.
Get fucking four horses on the road if you want. I'm such a good driver, that doesn't matter. Like, but that's my frustration is I'm always worried I'm going to like clip them or oncoming traffic.
We have to have something to be annoyed at, otherwise it's not fair. Like, that seems to be the thing to be annoyed at. But no, it's good fun. There was something I was going to say about it as well, which I completely forgot, but that's cool. Yes, that's what I was going to say. So yeah, also like there's this, like it's actually got quite competitive. I've been on two cycle rides and I'm also already super competitive with my uncle and other people because obviously we do the same cycle ride and we're kind of timing ourselves and doing time trials and who can go the fastest and stuff like that. And it's on an app called Strava where it basically just tracks your route and like tracks how far you go. And so that's another part of it, you know, is kind of trying to get your personal best up and kind of trying to beat your time and all that kind of stuff. And it's certainly super duper addictive. Hopefully I can continue to do it. And it will be interesting to go when there's like not locked down and there's, because it is quite quiet at the moment. There's still cars, but there's not anywhere near as many cars. But yeah, let us know if you're a keen cyclist and kind of what your favorite thing to do about or favorite thing about cycling is, whether you like to go cycle around London or whether you'd rather go to the New Forest and cycle around there, or you know, how long you've been cycling. Yeah, definitely. But no, I'd love to hear from you about your cycle stories, because it's certainly something that I will hopefully be keeping up with. And I'll keep you posted on Instagram on kind of my various cycles. And George, you will come cycling with me probably one day.
I'm not saying no. I'm saying be patient and lower your expectations, which I've said a lot of times in my life, I think.
Yeah, that's not a new story for you, George. No. But yeah, with that, let's move on to another round. I think this is our second iteration of Potty 3.0.
Yeah, I think
let's
right.
go. So this is actually my first Potty of Potty 3.0. So big up me. Last week we had the pressure is on. It's kind of a pressure related topic, pressure related device, maybe not. But last week we had, what did we have last week? Oh, the week before.
It was the cannabis storage box thing.
Oh yeah, the Keep cannabis storage box.
That
of course.
Was it. Yeah.
That couldn't get more George Murphy if you tried that. But yeah, so we're gonna lighten up a bit, and we're gonna perhaps go a bit more mainstream with our potty nominee this week. And I was thinking about it. There's a couple of close run things, a couple of ideas that I had in my mind. But I had to plump for this one. George, what's your favourite breakfast food?
Eggs.
On?
Toast.
Cool. Well, good. I'm glad toast was in it. Because this is a smart toaster.
Oh, okay.
It is the Revolution R180 high speed smart toaster.
Well, I'm in.
It looks really, really cool. The key features of it are that it has InstaGlow technology, which delivers better flavor with less waiting or re-toasting.
Right.
It's beautiful, which is probably a bit modest for it. Stainless steel body and large full color display enhance your countertop. It's fun. It's got a simple interface with touchscreen options, countdown clock, and happy finishing chime. Bring a little bit of joy to toasting. Happy finishing chime. I feel like
I've always said that that's what's been missing from my toaster experience.
Yeah, the happy finishing chime. Yeah. So basically, it's really cool. So you it looks like from this picture here, you basically choose what you're toasting, whether it's fresh, frozen, or whether you're reheating on a touchscreen, and you literally just swipe across. So you can, you know, bread, bagels, muffins, Pop Tarts, waffles, all that kind of stuff, and you kind of click it, and then you kind of obviously set your, I think from the looks of it, you can set your browniness, like from the degree of toast,
yeah,
the toastiness from the little display, and yeah, that's basically it. And then it kind of counts down, and then it does a happy chime, and then your toast is ready.
It's such minor little things like that would just make my life so much better. Like if I had a kettle with a timer on it, I could get so much more done because I'd know exactly how long I had.
Yeah, and also, like, talk about getting irrationally annoyed. Like, I couldn't get irrationally annoyed at how long my kettle is taking to boil if I had a nice, happy finishing chime.
No. Like, a few years ago, they had the whistle. Like, and we've removed the whistle with a tiny click, and it's just not the same.
No, it's not the same. But so, mine does a bing now.
A bing?
Yeah.
Nice. I am concerned about how much this is going to cost, though.
Wait, it's a toaster.
I haven't finished.
There's even more to this.
Oh, okay. I'll shut up.
There's also a safety first mechanism, which basically is a two-tap unlock, which ensures no accidental toasting. I assume of fingers.
Okay.
And also, there's a crumb reminder alert when it's time to empty your tray of crumbs.
If ever a bearded person needed a crumb reminder, fucking burn.
Yeah, I know. God, save that for later. And it's UL certified to the highest standards of safety. So I've had a number of toasters over my lifetime.
Yeah.
I've never ever emptied a crumb tray.
Not once. I might tip it upside down once every now and then. But
that's about it. Only to see if there's any little bit of toast that I left in there, and then I get showered in crumbs. But
yeah, like
other than that, okay, that's kind of it. That's the Revolution high speed smart toaster. In dollars.
Oh, okay.
How much do you reckon it is?
$250.
Not far off. $300.
Oh, Christ.
Call a spade a spade. It's $300. $299.95. But you can pay for it in installments of $75 per month for interest-free installments. You know something's expensive when you have the option to pay for it in installments.
Yeah, and it's a toaster.
It's a toaster. But it apparently also uses intelligent algorithms which adjust for optimal time, temperature, and placement of heat dependent on the type, different on the top and bottom of bread for remarkable taste.
Bread. That list of features that you read out was actually really impressive. Like $300 is pushing it, but that is a potential life changer. Like, and I think I eat quite a lot of toast anyway.
Yeah.
But I think that countdown timer would really revolutionise how I treat my mornings.
Yeah, but just put toast in a toaster. Like, how difficult is it? Like, you don't need to you can spend £30 on a toaster and it will do just as good a job.
It's not difficult. That's the whole point of this award, is that these things don't need to exist. It doesn't need to exist. It's all superfluous.
Yeah, no, I was just looking at the reviews here, and there are some funny ones, but I won't. It's like surprisingly small slots. Bagel fits fine, but most breads from market are too long, high. Temperature ranges are very disappointing. Level 2 is too light. Level 3 is close to dark. Anything higher than 4 is burnt. That's literally it.
Is that Dave from Massive Bread Emporium or something?
it's Steve.
Steve, you need to trim down on your bread, mate.
Yeah, you just need to get a life. Anyway, that was the potty nominee.
I loved it.
Potty 2 for potty 3.0. So let us know if you enjoyed that. It's the Revolution R180 high speed smart toaster. Go get one, Revolution. If you're listening to us, send us one, and we'll Marcus it for you and 100%. Check it out. And I do love toast. Mm. I wonder what else you could toast in there.
What's your favourite topping on toast?
Ooh, oh no. Jam?
Yeah, it's just let's just go. This is not
strawberry
around.
Jam. Proper nice strawberry jam.
Do you have butter with your jam?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. Okay. That's fine because I don't normally do if I'm having a bacon sarnie, I won't put butter on it because that's just ridiculous because it just sogs the bread out and it's worthless. But jam on toast, I could eat. I'd loaf of jam on toast and not even flinch. I'd be flinching because of all the sugar. But
yeah, I'm also partial to a Nutella on toast as well, but that feels a bit naughty.
It is, well, you know, it's toast. Got to be a bit naughty when toasted.
Careful now. Jam, like proper nice strawberry jam. Oh, now I want some strawberry jam on toast.
Yeah.
Anyway, whilst I go make some strawberry jam on toast, thank you very much for listening to our 16th episode. I can't believe it's 16 episodes of Podcast of Things. We will be back next week with our brand new episode. We might even be back with a special episode next week. Keep an eye out on Instagram and on Twitter and wherever you like follow us. We'll keep you updated and keep you up with our ideas. But before we go, George, you want to shout out Dom again?
Yeah, please go follow Dom Bowdry and his band. They do the theme music, the outro music, and everything in between. You can find them on Twitter at Why Pinto Band. That's Why is in the question, Pinto is in the bean, and Band is in the Rolling Stones, who we probably unnecessarily slated a little bit earlier. So yeah, cheers, Dom.
Cheers, mate. But yeah, until next time, until next week, have a very good week, and we will see you next week. Cheers, guys.